Okay, so that was the end of the conference. We almost saturated. But thanks for the organizers. Oh, exciting workshop. I'm talking about flavorful supersymmetry. Of course, LHC is coming. So we want to know what signatures we expect and what we can learn from those things. And there are a lot of approaches we already heard in this workshop. And you can come up with new models, which is a new spectacular signatures, or you can develop new techniques, new tools, and those are great stuff to do. But the question I ask is whether, do we really done with the very old theories? And it seems to be not necessarily. Today I'm talk about the weak scale supersymmetry, very conventional weak scale supersymmetry, nothing spectacularly different from MSSM, but still we can have some new classes of signatures which people have not thought at least in detail, in well, to me, well motivated, relatively simple setup. So the other main talk is that I first review supersymmetry and the flavors, usually supersymmetry flavor story, and I demonstrate this point in one of the very simple parametrization called and we discuss superparticle spectrum and talk about the LHC signatures, which could be the interesting probe of the origin of flavor. And the talk is based on the work with Michele Papucci and Daniel Ostrowski in these papers, and some overlapping work appears around the same time in this paper. Weak scale supersymmetry, we all know, beautiful thing, stabilized weak scale, lead to beautiful gauge coupling unification, and lead to candidate for dark matter. We love this. Okay? But a generic supersymmetry has a problem with flavor changing and CP violation. If you assume just a random weak scale soft masses, and that lead to excessive flavor change neutral current and CP violation. So it's too big. And a common solution to this, which dominates the phenomenological study or theoretical study, of course, mostly, is a flavor universality. You assume that the soft masses of these superparticles are flavor universal at the scale where it's generated. And there are a lot of scenarios or models taking this approach, and sugar gauge mediation, gauge genome mediation, and so on, and that beautifully solve this problem. But do we really understand the flavor? It seems to be, of course, clearly not. The flavor shows already in the standard model very interesting patterns, like a hierarchy of the quark and the leptons and mixing matrix is correlated. Those are happening in the same weak basis. And this is all interesting structure, and no really conclusive understanding of its origin seem to be there yet. So do we really need to go to all the way down to flavor universality? Okay? Because, of course, random soft mass is not good. The flavor universality, the other extreme, because it completely kills off the flavor signatures. But maybe not. The physics responsible for the standard model flavor structure may address the problem with this flavor CP violation. And in fact, of course, there are a lot of attempts in the theoretical work and in the context of many different contexts of flavor symmetry and so on. Okay? But of course, that's not trivial, especially because the constraints have become tightened in the past few years. Now we know many B-physics experiment, the lepton flavor violating experiments, and to say that, okay, this is a meaningful direction, we have to address all these bounds, okay, that's experimental part, in some of the theoretically natural way. And that's a tricky thing. What's the theoretically natural? This is one of the answers, my answer to that question. How natural? You have to do something or not. In fact, that's not entirely trivial. If you think about the most simplest theory of flavor, just U, Abelian, and Frugat-Nielsen, U1 flavor, great. All these quark and lepton masses are explained by the U1 charges, assignment. If you just naively do that, the 1-2 element of, the, for example, quark is of all the cabiho angle. That's way too rash to satisfy KK bounds and so on. And for example, pure alignment, okay, if you align the angle and so on, whether you can make it without having a quark degeneracy, it seems to be out already, given KK bar and mu deliver result. You need some degeneracy already, model independently. Okay. So you need to have some almost flavor universality anyway. So would that eliminate anything interesting associated with flavor at the LHC? Or, okay, you could probably come up with a model, okay, as a model breeder, you can come up with anything, but you suppress the flavor violation at the level which is safe, but still interesting. Do we have to work on something or not? The answer is yes or no, you see. That yeah. Okay. That's the question. But seems to be Susie can be still pretty much flavorful without too much of the work. So let's to demonstrate that, let's consider the following simple setup. I come with some models later, that just supersymmetric standard model arises at some say high scale and stuff. And we anyway have to explain the quark and lepton mass and mixing. So let's just scale. If some feed phi appears, we just scale any interaction, okay, non-gauge interaction, any gauge interaction with suppression factor associated with that field. Okay? We just scale it. There are tons of realization across this. Okay? So in that case, then a Yukawa coupling of QUH is some natural size of a Yukawa coupling times suppression factor associated with the quark field. And then just assume that this explains the standard model structure of the quark and lepton masses and mixings. So that's a simple thing in mind. Now, if you do the same thing, same suppression, just feed appears, carrying suppression factor, in some sense the wave function factor, appearing associated with each feed, and you look at the all soft masses, and then the soft masses associated with the first two generations are suppressed, the same Ishan factor, which you can almost read off from observe the quark and lepton masses and mixings. Okay? Let's take that scaling temporarily. Okay? I'll come up with some more. Later, example model later. So you have a scaling like epsilon factors. This scope operator coefficient is separated by just epsilon factor. Yeah? And let's see that how bad this is, because this is so naive. So people say, okay, Frege violation is already giving very strong constraint on the supersymmetric particles, supersymmetric breaking mechanism. How bad this is? Okay? Of course, this leads to a big Frege violation. For example, if you look at the squawk and you have a term, which is just a proportion to epsilon, or if you look at the right-hand selector masses, the mass is like a highly non-universal, of course. It's suppressed by epsilon 3, epsilon 2, epsilon 1, associated with the feed of the first generation right-handed superfeed, second generation, so on. Okay? Remember, these epsilon factor is related with the Yukawa coupling. So now you have a correlation with the Yukawa coupling structure and superparticle mass structure. In this just particular example, in this particular way. Yeah? And see how bad or how good are these things about the raw energy flavor and CV violation. Of course, these completely flavor non-universal masses are not good, but anyway, you will get the Frege universal piece on top of this, at least from renormalization group equations from the Gugino masses. Okay? And you may have additional contributions, say gauge mediation, comparable to these things. So I just don't want to commit to a very detailed model, so I just want to do the soft masses, just scaling with the epsilon factor naively. Okay? This naive plus some Frege universal addition of the order of the weak scale. Okay? That may be generated by raw energies or some other mechanism, minimization group running, and so on. And if the raw energy masses are this form, then you can compute, because mass insertion parameter, you can go to super secant basis, mass insertion parameters, you can look at all the standard Frege violation constraint in this particular case. And as long as, of course, you know the value of epsilon factors, you have to associate it with each field of the MSSM. Of course, that you can read off from observed quark and lepton masses and mixings. And let's look at that. These epsilon factors should be associated with all three generations of Q, U, D, R, E. And that should reproduce the Yukawa matrix structure, the quark and lepton masses and mixings. To do that, of course, you have a freedom, because the Yukawa coupling is a left-handed times right-handed. If you make left-handed epsilon factor big, and at the same time make the right-handed the small, of course, it does not change any Yukawa coupling, but it will change epsilon factor, and of course, that will change the soft masses you will see. Yeah? So this is a kind of general parameterization. So you parameterize the degrees of freedom. It is not fixed by quark and lepton masses, by alpha. Alpha Q, alpha R, and alpha beta, those are all the one ambiguity you don't fix by the quark-lepton data. And with these things, And where this epsilon factor is a suppression factor associated with the co-connectron hierarchy. Essentially, I'm taking the one epsilon, epsilon square, epsilon, 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 and these parameters in the box. That has been considered standard co-connectron mass matrix structures. And then look at all the constraints, including CP violation. So you have a bunch of constraints from KK bar, BD bar, BD bar, sine theta, BTS gamma. These are the least which is potentially relevant. But mostly, the really important is epsilon K and mu e gamma and electron EDM. And the rest is also not entirely trivial to satisfy, but these are important bounds. And I'm taking like a squawk and a 500 to 200 GeV. And if you take this, the bounds on one crossover operator, the Suzy breaking field coupled to Yukawa coupling, which gives a term operator, the constraint on that is a bit strong. Okay? So it will push superparticle masses a little bit higher. But this operator is a superpotential operator, so maybe it may not be generated. It's technically natural to make it small. And in fact, in the model, you can also even kill the anomalous using anomalous symmetry and so on, and if you want. So if this crossover operator were absent, what's the situation? It's almost constraint-free. Okay? So if you take all the supersymmetry breaking operators, everything is there, just simply scale with this epsilon in absence of this X coupling operator. And if you look at the constraint, that depends on whether the naive size of the Yukawa coupling is weak or strong, because the observed Yukawa coupling is the naive size of Yukawa coupling times the epsilon factor. If theory is strongly coupled, you expect this naive size of the Yukawa coupling being big, like 4 pi. So to reproduce the same Yukawa observed Yukawa coupling, you have to choose smaller epsilon factor. So the flavor violating contribution to squawk masses, because it's proportional to epsilon, becomes smaller, the constraint becomes weaker. But even weakly coupled, in the case that y tilde is order 1, the region is widely open. So for pi is cases even widely, more widely open. So even in lighter superparticles, if you take into account the fact that the observed Yukawa coupling has a structure and small parameters, it seems like the region is not that small. Of course, in the context of models, people studying this, but it's not like really a model to kill some operator. It's just a generic size. The generic size of a weak scale is, of course, bad. The other extreme is a flavor universality. And if you have anything in the middle, of course, that's the size associated with the Yukawa coupling. That's the only thing. And that seems to be widely open. So if you have something which is smaller than, the flavor violation is smaller than this, it's automatically safe. Okay? This is not that constraining. And so supersymmetry can will be have flavor, non-trivial flavor structure. But the flavor structure I'm putting is associated with the epsilon factor. You may think it's not necessarily big, because the reason that the flavor constraint is satisfied is epsilon factor is small, because first two generation Yukawa is small. But this small breaking can still lead to drastic changes of the phenomenology at the regime, because in flavor universal case, the flavor violation you have from Yukawa coupling is even smaller. So you have this small perturbation, you will change a lot of the structure of the spectrum and so on. Okay, so before going to some AC signatures, let me just talk about experimental realization. Of course, you can have a variety of ways to realize this particular simple scaling. But let me give you one example. It's just very simple. Let's think that our universe has extra dimension of order, say, gut scale or very high scale. And then a quark and lepton masses are generated by the wave function effect, which you have heard many times. So suppose you have a Higgs localizing here, third generation, second generation, first generation. And then the third generation Yukawa coupling is over up with this, second generation, first generation. Okay, great. Okay, so that will give essentially this epsilon scaling. And now if a Suzy breaking field is localized on the same place with the Higgs, namely electric breaking, Suzy breaking happening in the same place, and then the direct shock to mass cell generation get is epsilon 3 square, the second generation epsilon 2 square, and then off diagonal element is epsilon 2, epsilon 3, and this simple scaling can be realized. So you count the Suzy breaking both controlled by the same separation factor epsilon. And you can, of course, extend these things. Dangerous operator can be killed by putting some extra symmetries. Or gauge mediation can be combined and around. Actually, you can get the gauge mediation if you extend the minimal setup around the same order as gravity. You know? You can provide additional universal path, not necessarily coming from RGE, which will make it the model more freedom to have a more wider spectrum. And you can combine this with the ground unification. Beautifully, the high dimension has a virtue doing ground unification. And in fact, it's not entirely trivial, but okay, at the reading order, that's the spectrum you get. But there are also other flavor corrections, like if you do the calculation loop of bar gauge feed, of course, produce additional flavor variation. You can write a bunch of high dimension operators that could be flavor violating. But in the end, you can show that all these corrections are under control. And you can reproduce the particular pattern we have been discussing. So, yeah, what's a superparticle spectrum in these things you expect? And because you have a non-trivial flavor structure at the gut scale or very high scale, that will, of course, feed down to the weak scale. And then you have also a non-trivial flavor structure at the TED. And let's focus on the right-handed selectron case, what happens. And if there were no intrinsic flavor violation, like a flavor universal case, of course, you get the flavor universal path and the renormalization group effect, i.e. I mu I tau, which is proportional to Yukawa square, okay, roughly. So this is the pattern. Okay? And you have the following two things. Because of this structure, okay, this is a structure in the basis that the charge rep in Yukawa is diagonal. So interaction eigenstates and mass eigenstates are completely same. Okay? And mass ordering of the selectron is anti-correlated with the electron. Okay? The tau is the lightest. Okay? Most of the study, if you look at, is assuming that, okay? because of this structure. But that's not true if you have, of course, intrinsic flavor variation. In a particular example, it's this. Okay? You have this. That's not the case, of course. If you go there, and you have a raw energy, superparticle mass, universal path, plus running path, plus, of course, intrinsic flavor variation. That is scaling with, that's scaled with the epsilon factor, which is maybe small, but this renormalization group effect is even smaller because it's the Yukawa square, and typically this intrinsic part is Yukawa because it's epsilon square. Yukawa is a y tilde epsilon epsilon. This is epsilon square. It's of order Yukawa, roughly. Okay? It's a big effect. And in particular assignment that the right-handed selectron, tau generation is one, for example, the tau could split all the one, okay? Very, very naturally. Okay, just reproducing Yukawa coupling, all the ones splitting false tau. Okay, so completely safe from flavor violation without working too hard, and this is a spectrum. Okay, of course you immediately see that interaction eigenstates and mass eigenstates are not the same. Okay, and mass ordering is even not correlated at all, because for example, tau case, it's all the one split can be there. It's And even selectrons muon mass difference could be, okay, this is typically like GEDs. It's much bigger, and there's no theorem for the ordering. That's the large effect, because all those changes, if you look at the SAM process, okay, NRSP, for example, could be just a selectron will change. Okay, you see the signatures. And mass splitting can be even much, much bigger. So, of course, the typical correlator signature depends on what's the RSP and RSP. So let's think about the standard case. Of course, I know that the gut relation can be violated and so on, but the standard case. The most likely lightest fermion is one of the right-handed selectrons, anyone, okay, selectrons, muons, tau. Okay. We don't know. The rightest eno, let's assume like a beno, okay? And maybe gravitino. Okay? And you don't know which one is the rightest, because those are really more the dependent part, which I don't want to commit to. So it depends on how the gauge mass is generated, how universal contributions show up, and so on. But there's one thing which could be interesting, is the following. If you just take, this is like a gravity-mediated framework in a broadly defined case, just some M star, and which is correlated with the flavor, you just have a random sort of mass, it's scaled with epsilon. If this M star is between unification scale and Planck scale, which you naively expect, if you want to keep gauge gap unification and so on, and then the superparticle mass is typically F over M star cutoff. But the gravitational mass is F over n Planck, okay? Four-dimensional Planck. So this is not the theorem, but naively, you may expect the gravity not to be between n minus 2 and 1 compared with the superparticle masses. In that case, gravity is LSP, but NLSP is long beam, and that's the case, actually, which will have fantastic signatures, most spectacular ones. But the other case is possible. And you can have even a model with the gauge mediation comparable to gravity mediation. We looked at some of those. But most of the case, it's four in this range anyway. So overall mass pattern, which I'm interested here to look at the LSE, is the following. Of course, you have a standard model Higgs, standard model plus Higgs particles. And you have a standard spheromion, scalar particle. And I'm simply assuming that the right-handed one is the rightest. Standard case. And in standard SSM Reynolds, the Beano is the lightest, and you have a gravitino. And we don't know which one is the lightest, and we don't know which one of the right-handed electrons, muon star, is the lightest. That's the case I want to study here. So what the LSE signatures of these things? And you have plenty of possibilities, at least if you don't come up with the ordering in these, among these, and then you have six possibilities of the ordering between the among these trees. But you can classify these six practically into three cases. Yeah? The one case is that the gravitino, the important thing is the ordering between, one of the important things is the ordering between right-handed electron, the rightest one, and the Beano. Okay? If Beano is heavier, you have a case A and B. And if gravitino is the lightest, the NLSP is a right-handed electron. It decays into gravitino, LSP. But the decay lifetime is typically long. If you set the gravitino mass to be between 10 minus 2 and 1, and it's longer than 100 seconds, so it's stable in the collider. So the signature at the collider main detector is a stable charge flux. Very spectacular, boom. And then this may decay later into gravitino, which people have some proposal how to see this. I'll come to this. And of course, the ordering between gravitino and the slepton doesn't affect this part of the signatures too much. Of course, now slepton is stable, so may have cosmic problem unless you extend, like axino. Okay? The other case is that the Beano is lighter than right-handed slepton. In that case, the signature is pretty much standard missing energy, but you have an intrinsic flavor violation, which may be problem. So let's talk about the case A, okay? Namely, the right-handed electron is lighter than Beano. In this case, the immediate signature is this is stable right-handed electron. Okay? And in fact, in both cases, A and B, and this is the case. And then in that case, you can measure very precisely the mass of this particle, time of flight, and so on. And you can completely reconstruct the event. Because you don't have any missing energy, you can reconstruct all the masses and so on. And the precision claimed is like even 0.1% in the best cases to 1%. Okay? So you can do the very clean sample. It's fully reconstructable. And you can do the flavor measurement because it's very clean. For example, okay, the superparticles are produced, decay down, 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 and then go to NLSP right-handed slepton. That's pretty much the stable particle, the collider, attached with the leptons. And in this case, the Beano is light. So it will be produced by Beano to these things. So the flavor of this is pretty much correlated with that. So if you select the event of this heavy, isolated, stable, massive one, plus two isolated leptons, you can get the flavor measurement. It's mostly the same flavor as the rightest one, but sometimes different. So, and that's very, the physics you can do in a very early stage, relatively early stage of the LSE. It's very clean and spectacular signatures. And you can probably go to higher. For example, suppose the NLSP is a right-handed electron, and you have a right-handed muon just above that, like 1 GeV. What you can do, the Beano decays right-handed electron, but sometimes right-handed muon, and that will decay into two leptons, okay? And then, but soft, like a GeV lepton, or a few GeVs, two soft septons, and then go down to the NLSP. And again, this is no missing energy. And you, so if you select two hard leptons and two soft leptons, and you may be able to do this, but this is not entirely trivial, right? Because it's a soft, so if the parent NNLSP is pretty much stopping, it's a very soft, but if it's boosted and it's collimated, how much you can do these things? And I don't think it's well known. So, but my feeling is we can probably do, and we plan to look at those. Okay, so there's already a lot of things you can do at the main detector if it's a stable particle, relatively clean, but still have some issues, which is very interesting to look at. But beyond that, you can even do more to look at this rate decay of this almost stable right-handed leptons. And there are a couple of things people thought about. For example, if the beta of the produced right-handed lepton is small, and then it may stop inside the detector, and they decay. So you may look at some particle pointing not to the interaction point and somewhere else. Or NLSP may stop at the rock just outside the detector, and decay product may come back, and you may be able to look at that. And people even are trying to use the tracker to determine where the NLSP stopped in the rock. You drill it and go to some more quiet places and then study the decays. Of course, those are clearly not the idea of a theorist. But the more cleaner thing is to build a large stopper detector to stop this NLSP outside the main detector, and then study the decay product in detail. There are some proposed stopper detector here, and I'm showing the proposal by these guys, and Jonathan also look at that. But now, this NLSP is stopped inside the stopper detector, and typically people consider right-handed star. Okay? But in this case, could be even right-handed selectron and right-handed muon. It stops in the detector and decay into gravitino and leptons. Okay? That's very clean signature because two-body decays. It's monochromatic energy of selectron muon. And here's another good thing about thinking about those things, because the original detector proposal does not contain, for example, magnetic fields, so you cannot measure the momentum of the muon. It's clearly good to do unless it's a very big obstacle experimentally. I just talked briefly about it. Doesn't seem to be a huge problem. Why not? Because it could be muon, okay? Or muon decaying to muon. Of course, star may even decay to muon, okay? For the violin. So this is a very spectacular signatures. And for example, that allows us to, of course, identify this very clearly, and also measure the mass of the gravitino, if the gravitino mass is not too right, because the energy of these monochromatic guys depends on the NLSP mass and the gravitino mass, and the mass of the NLSP mass of NLSP may be measured at the main detector using standard collider physics. Okay? And then you can measure the mass of gravitino. The right time can be measured by just counting the rate, and then you can even check the supergravity relations, like mass and lifetime measurement, as suggested by these guys. Okay? You can do these things very clean. Okay? And the Frebe mixing can also be measured, and can prove the very detailed structure of this intrinsic Frebe bioreaction. Okay? Of course, finally, you can have the other cases. B0 is lighter than a right-handed selectron. In that case, the lightest right-handed selectron, which you don't know what that is, but it just decays promptly into B0, so it's a missing energy. But still, intrinsic Frebe bioreaction may be measured. You can use, for example, amplitude variable in Dorelian. Of course, this has the problem with statistics. If the mass scale is very heavy, you can look at the multiple edges. But these things are not thoroughly studied for me. For example, in the case that the left-handed lepton, okay, Ti2 decaying into left-handed lepton, you can also do the same thing for the left-handed lepton. How much you can do, what's the precision, which at least I don't know. Fine. Anyway, in all these three cases, a detailed study of these masses, squawk and slepton masses, which is small effect if it's scaled with the epsilon factor, but typical Frebe bioreaction in the Frebe universal case is even much smaller. So this is a big perturbation, and you can change the order, change the signatures, and by studying these things, you can probe the origin of the quark and lepton masses, because that will most likely be correlated with this quark and lepton intrinsic rate of vibration. And in fact, this is the strength of SUSY, because the scalar particle has information on all the high energy scale. Maybe flavor physics happening at the Planck scale, you have information on that. So, concluding, despite stringent constraint from low energy flavor and CP vibration, oh, it's a very constraint in SUSY, supersymmetry may be flavorful, okay? The flavor structure, non-trivial flavor structure, intrinsic one. And I just demonstrate this in just even simple scaling is enough. Essentially enough to avoid all the bounds, including CP vibration, lepton sector, and so on. And it can be realized explicitly. Okay? And that will change the collider phenomenology a lot compared with the standard cases. And it can do the rich phenomenology at the colliders. And it can be done in both cases of stable charge drugs and the conventional missing energy. In particular, in the case of stable charge drugs, you can do full reconstruction of events, which allows you to do the very precise measurement, including flavor, in which you can do in a relatively early time scale. And you can do even more richer physics if you could build the stopper detector, like all the kiloton thing in outside the main detector. And this could be really precious or important direct window to the physics of the quark and lepton flavor structures. And a large opportunity is there for me, okay, without working too much on flavor model. So it's better to be prepared for the possibility. For example, some detector design or something, it's better to include all the possibility, like maybe it's muons, electron, and so on, or software, and everything. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions to Yasunori?
Could you just comment on the comparison with like Nelson-Strassler version of Gugino mediation, say? It looks
very
similar,
yeah, very related, yes. Yes, yeah, true. Very, very much related. Of course, those are one of the things, very fantastic thing. Of course, the connection become stronger. So one of the things is that these avoiding the bound is safely is not associated with the particular model. That's one of the points. Of course, particular model could avoid this if it could be something like that. And the connection becomes stronger if you warp this. You can warp this setup, and then of course become really cross. Of course, the particular pattern of sort of mass and so on is different, because in this case, it's just a simply scale with epsilon factors. It's like a physics is like a Higgs is composite, but also SUSY breaking field is composite. Of course, SUSY breaking itself happens at lower energies by dynamical SUSY breaking. And the reason that the electric breaking, Yukawa coupling, and the soft mass is correlated is anomalous dimension control everything. But in particular, in the Strasser case, it's not this structure. And you have some flavor vibration arising from difference of anomalous dimension, if you know the story. But yes, clearly, yeah. Really related, yeah.
More questions to Yasunori? So in RS, the simple scaling almost works, but not quite, yes? Like we discussed it, Karlsruhe. So what is it that is better here? How come, you know, you don't have any problem from CP violation in KK bar system just by the naive scaling?
At least you have a weak root factor. Because in SUSY, everything is a root process. I don't know whether it's helping. I can do detailed comparison, but at least everything is a root factor. In RS, you keep giving a naive size, and you attach a anomalous dimension. Mm-hmm. That's like a Yukawa factors, yeah. Period. Yeah. But this is an extra one of 16 pi squared, at least, I think. I see. It's a weak root. But because the problem was, it was small in RS.
Yeah, it was not very big.
So in my opinion, this is helping. This could be. Then it's R parity is helping. Mm. Because of R parity, you don't have a three-level process. You cannot do the KK exchange.
Yeah.
So.
Low energy effects and flavor violating low energy effect.
Oh yeah, all standard things is very interesting still. Mu2E gamma.
Smoking gun. I mean, any things you can't avoid.
Yeah, the point is that the smoking gun of this whole classes of models, of course, that include the past one, which is proposed. Some of them already excluded, but is of course these things. Okay? Suppose you see those things, it's not the minimal flavor violation. Okay, now. What's the model, or the point is that you can do the detailed collider phenomenology to see really directly the more detailed pattern, not just the number which convolved everything, like epsilon factor and so on. You can study all these elements. And so the, having these things, plus SUSY is, of course, the smoking gun of this broad class of intrinsically flavor-violating SUSY. But go to the models, wow. But the collider you can do, because these are small violating effects, but it's a big effect in collider. That's one of the points which I think it was not really emphasized too much. Oh, no, the standard one is all there. Standard one is all there. Yeah, standard one is all there. Yeah. Unless you kill those things by, in specific models. Yeah, cross too. Yes, very cross. If you, everything is order one there, floating around. Oh, EDM may not be, because if you kill this ATAM operator, then EDM may not be.
I did just have this technical question, which is, you had the epsilons for the leptons or sleptons, and of course the Yukawas of the leptons are all very small. I didn't quite understand how the splittings of the sleptons were significant.
Oh, if it's a TAM beta, it's relatively large.
Ah, okay.
If it's TAM beta, it's small.
Gotcha.
But it's 10%. 10% is pretty big.
Okay. Okay.
Like 10 GV is pretty big. Very big.
Any other questions to Yasunori? Honori?
My question is about the detector that stops scalar lepton. And is there something that needs to be taken care of if you want to see electron or muon coming out from the scalar lepton?
Or at the stopper detector?
Yes.
The Sereton case is trivial. Electron was, from the beginning, designed to be stopped, because this stopper detector is essentially at the same time, stopper at the same time, electromagnetic and hadronic calorimeter. So electron is pretty simple. Okay? But the muon case, they're not thinking about. And in fact, the muon cannot be, muon momentum cannot be measured by electric calorimeter and hadronic calorimeter. So you have to extend the design to include magnetic field. And that those are the things you can suggest by thinking about those things. And to me, it's just a very natural framework, which is, compared with the naturalness, theoretical naturalness of the framework, to me, the attention paid was too small. That's what I think.
So challenge is more about seeing muon, not the electron.
No, electron is pretty easy.
I see.
Electron is very easy. Because this is an EM calorimeter at the same time. So if selectron stop it, beginning the electron, it just automatically, you see it. That's.
Doesn't it depend on where it is stopped?
Not too much. It is not too much. Yeah. Of course, there is a small issue, like if the decay product is parallel to the layer or something, but pretty much everywhere.
Okay. Any remaining questions? Okay, let's thank Yasunori again.